Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. John here with you today. Look, as always, thank you very much for coming and hanging out. It's good to see you. Good for you to hear me, however we say that. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Today, it's just me. Today, we're doing a website teardown. So it's been a little while since we've done one of these. If you're new to the show, I did a few of these last year. It's actually where I do a website teardown in one of our Facebook groups, the link to which you can find in the show notes to this episode. I get in there once a week and do a little training session. So it's free to join that group. So if you'd like to get in there and, learn from other people, catch a weekly training with me, some other value that gets shared in there, just head along to the link once again below the show notes and you can join in. Just go to Facebook and search Dropship Breakthrough is the other way you can do that. If you just go into the search bar, put in Dropship Breakthrough, you'll see the group come up and you can join in there. So I do these little trainings and in the website teardown ones, it's where I look at a live dropshipping website, a high-ticket dropshipping website, and I kind of just walk through on the screen what I like about it, what's going well there and what could be better, what could be improved. And I try to kind of squeeze it into an hour. So this is a longer episode. To be honest, I could probably talk about a website for longer than an hour. So I do squeeze it in there a bit at the end. But nevertheless, this is a good experience or a good thing to listen to if you're somebody who is thinking about getting into dropshipping, if you're just going through the process of building a dropshipping website, if you've recently launched a dropshipping website. There can be some useful tips within me talking about somebody else's website that you can pick up on and implement those things into your site as well. So thanks to Jason, who volunteered his site for this website teardown. It's very nice of him to put his business out there publicly and have me talk about it in whatever way I choose. And if you would love to have your website torn down, as it were, I'm very friendly about it. I'm not rude about it. So don't be scared. All you have to do is shoot an email through to support@dropshipbreakthrough.com and just say, hey, I'd love you to do a teardown of my website and give me your URL. And I'll schedule that in somewhere along the line. I'll do it in the Facebook group. So there's video of it. If you're in there, you'll see it there as well. And of course, it will come out on the podcast here. Now, it's important to say that there is a video version. If you're listening to the audio, you can watch the video of this episode. So on Spotify, this is a video episode. So you can watch the video there, or you can go and find it over on our YouTube channel. All of our podcast episodes end up on YouTube as well. So you can always watch any of the Dropship Podcast episodes on YouTube. You might be there already watching it. If you are, hello. So obviously the video is a good companion to this episode, but it's by no means required. You'll still pick up a lot just by listening in. So without further ado, let's dive into the website teardown. The website, which you should see up on the screen now or coming up on the screen now, is Functional Fitness Equipment, which is at Functional Fitness Equip, so EQUIP.com. So if you're listening or you're watching, you can pop it up on your screen as well. If you happen to want to buy some functional fitness equipment, of course, and you're in the right country, feel free to buy it from Jason. So this is a live site. It's a high ticket drop shipping site. So I know we have a lot of people who come into the group and, maybe are, interested in drop shipping, but haven't quite worked out what high ticket drop shipping is. It's a particular type of drop shipping. I'll have an upcoming training in the group more specifically about that probably next week. But this is a high ticket drop shipping store. So what I usually do on these website teardowns is I'm just going to walk through the store. I'm going to look at different pages, the home page, collection pages, product pages, and share my thoughts on those. Of course, bear in mind that, you know, what you see on a website, I think people tend to overplay what websites look like in terms of how important that is for making sales and growing a business. So this is actually one of the, particularly when it comes to high ticket dropshipping, one of the less important things. How you do your marketing and the quality of your marketing, as well as how you do your customer service and the quality of your customer service and how well you serve your customers, are far more important than what your website looks like. And if we're talking about websites, probably the most important thing is not necessarily design, it's actually what's communicated on the website and how easy is it for the intended target, the ideal customer, to digest that. So just bear that in mind as we go through. I mean, it's still important what the website looks like and it's still important what's on the website. But if you're sitting there and thinking that, you know, the secret to growing your business is going to be found simply within website design or something like that, well, it's really not. There are far more important things to go after there. So let's dive in. We're going to start on the webpage. The name of the business here is fairly self-explanatory as to what the business sells. So we're talking about functional fitness equipment. So equipment, functional trainers, cardio equipment we've got here, benches and various accessories and strength fitness equipment and that sort of thing. So look, I like immediately coming on here, I do like that the color scheme for the site appears to be quite clean. You know, I think I'm a fan of very simple and clean color schemes for websites. Some people get into making their website look like a rainbow or a, you know, some sort of kids lolly or something like that. And unless you're appealing to kids, that's a really poor idea. I like that we've just got the black, the white, and this kind of, I don't know what color that is. Somebody can slate or maybe taupe or something like that. Whatever this color is here behind the menu, I like that. It's nice and simple. It's clean. Black and white is great because it's easy on the eye. It's easy for your eyes to digest. And so particularly on mobile devices, that is a good thing. But you do need some a little bit of extra color just to make various bits stand out, call to actions, that sort of thing. So I like this. We'll see the first unusual thing that Jason's added in here is added this banner line of text up here, which, and I'm going to switch between looking at a desktop and a mobile view here. So right out of the gate, it appears that Jason is going and trying to make a price match policy or guarantee a, you know, large part of his marketing, I would assume, by inserting that into the header. Now, I think, you know, there is nothing wrong with banners or that sort of thing along the top of your site. And it's very valuable real estate. It's obviously the first part of the site that anybody sees, regardless of whether they land on desktop or mobile. It appears on every page on the site. And so if you have a piece of, you know, your offer or marketing information that you want to share, I mean, obviously the header of the site is the place to put it. I think price match or a price match policy guarantee, whatever you want to call it, can be a very useful tool for a high ticket dropshipping business. Obviously, a lot of customers are conscious of price and maybe shopping on price and all of that sort of thing. And so this can be a useful thing to do. Now, just commenting on this exactly, I probably would make this, I think it's not a bad thing to do. It's not a bad thing to test. I would probably think about like changing it a little bit. So I would find a way to do this with less words primarily. The shorter and simpler you can make messages, the more effective they are from a marketing perspective. So like, did you know we price match? Well, we do. I would probably just cut that down to we price match. And then I would Rather than saying show us a competitor selling the same product at a lesser cost and we'll match it, this includes sale prices as well. I mean, you could have a little page on your site that talks about your price match policy or your guarantee, and you could include that sort of detail. But I would cut this down, way down, and just go, found a better price, call us and we'll match it on da 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 da. So get your phone number in here. And then, so I would put the phone number into this as well. It doesn't matter that it's there as well. And then I would make it click to call. So click to call means when somebody's on a mobile device, they can click the banner or the phone number or whatever, and it will automatically bring up the dialer on their phone and they can call your business. So you're making it really easy, right? Now, the great thing, the main reason why I actually like Price Match or similar things is because it's a sneaky way to encourage people to call your business. When you're in the early stages of growing your business, particularly, talking to your customers is something that you want to prioritize and make sure you get it happening as much as you can. Why? Well, in the beginning, you're learning. You're learning about your market. You're learning about your customers. You're trying to learn about what your customers want, what they don't want, what they're looking for, what they're not looking for. Do they understand your website? What other websites? There are so many questions you're looking to answer in the beginning that without talking to your customers, honestly, you're literally making assumptions and guessing about, which is okay, but you can speed up your growth so much faster if you talk to customers and ask them some questions, right? Not to mention, you'll just make more sales if you can talk to somebody. Like, it's easier to convert a customer when you got them in front of you or on the phone, so that you can sort of answer their questions, dig into what their motivations are, you know, find out what their objections are and then solve those. And then that usually results in a sale much more likely than if they're just on your website. The trick is, though, is that a lot of customers don't call just to call. You got to give them, find reasons to get them to call. And so Price Match is a good reason. It also helps you to uncover if there are any pricing issues within your website. So sometimes, you know, you can say, well, I check all my prices and, you know, I can see on my competitor's website my prices for the same product are the same. But what if your competitor's offering discounts via email or when customers call them and things like that? And so sometimes these, having these sorts of things on your site can also uncover some hidden competitive issues that you might not be picking up just by looking at the front end. But anytime you have a call to action, like anytime you want something, somebody to do something, you need to give them a call to action, right? Like a very direct and clear call to action. And so that's how I would change this line. And then I would probably, I mean, Jason's fairly early on. So this is a reasonably new site. So still work to do, of course. I would probably go to somebody on Fiverr, which, you know, there's tons of people on Fiverr that do banner design. And I would get this designed up as like a nice little, probably slimline kind of banner that matches the design of my site, the color schemes and all of that sort of thing. It will probably just look a bit cleaner in here. And then I would get that image inserted in, which is, once again, a fairly simple thing to do if you want to keep it up here at the top of the site. So, and then you could also use that same image, that banner image, elsewhere on your site as well. So that's the first thing I'll say. This is a little bit different. I don't see a lot of people doing this. Certainly worth a try, but that's how I would improve that. And think about that. Anytime you're asking somebody to do something on your website, whether it's buying the product, whether it's opting in to maybe you've got some download or an opt-in form of some sort of something like that, keep the message as short and as simple as possible. We Price Match, found a better price, call us on this number, click here. That's it. Direct. You don't need to explain how the thing works. They're going to get that when they call you, right? Even more reason to call you. What you want to do is say enough so that they get that there's a potential benefit and it arouses some curiosity. So they'll call to learn more and then to get the thing, right? You know, the more people that will take it up will call, the better for you. Now, the other thing that I noticed on this, and we're going to do a little slide down to mobile view. So hopefully this works. So now we're triggered this into its breakpoint, and we're down looking at the mobile view now, even though I've still got it in the desktop browser. It's always super important to look at your site on mobile. Remember that 80%+ of your traffic is going to be on mobile. So while we look at websites often in the desktop view and we're designing them and we're building them, the reality is that's not how most people are ever going to look at your site. So always come back down to mobile. Something that jumped out to me when I was looking at it before is for the chat widget here, which is great to have a chat, online chat tool available to you. On this one from me, and this, while I'm in the mobile view, this is way bigger than an actual mobile screen. This chat widget, which is opening up automatically on page load, is obscuring, you know, probably just under a third of the page. So you don't want that, right? I mean, that's annoying. You see where I scroll, it sticks there, and I've got to click to close it. It's better off to load your site like this. So there'll be a setting in your chat apps. There's a bunch of different chat apps, they all have it. For you to load it, it can pop up like that on desktop because, you know, when I'm on the full desktop experience, you know, I mean, that chat widget is not too big. I mean, that's the full one. That's a bit too big, but the one that was loading with the little message was okay. That wasn't intrusive on desktop, I don't think. But when we shrink down to mobile, it was too big. So I'd be loading it like this. I also think I would take off the reviews tab here, simply because somebody doesn't need to see reviews until they've really made a decision that they're close to buying from you. And once again, it's just a little bit distracting. It's a little bit annoying depending on where I'm scrolling. It obscures some things. So I just don't think it's necessary. It's certainly not necessary on your homepage either. People don't come to your homepage to look for reviews. There's better ways to serve reviews as people go through your site experience. So I'd probably get rid of those things, take it really clean. There was another thing that I noticed, it's disappeared. There was a shop. So Shopify's shop app loaded a little interstitial on this page. I don't know if it's because when I looked at it on my mobile, I don't know if it's because I have the shop app. That was super annoying too, but it's gone. So I can't show you. Anyway, moving on down the page. Jason's got a slider here. I would do away with the slider and just keep your image here with your ideal customer on it and that sort of thing. This shop now pay over time with Klarna. It's not really necessary. Sliders load JavaScript as well, which slows down your site load time. And there's some, it's been around for a while now, research that shows that over 90% of website visitors never see the second image of a slider, much less interact with it. So the second, it's fairly mostly useless information. So I would just do away with it, just do with the single slide, which will just leave it as a static image. Which is not a bad image. I like having the hero image at the top with a bit of a message about what your business is about so that people who land here get an instant kind of psychological hook into the fact that you're a business that serves the interest that they're here to look at. And so that's cool. Moving on, this is the Superstore theme, by the way. Anybody who's not in our Dropship Breakthrough program, which might be plenty of the people who are in this group, this is the Superstore theme, which is the theme that we recommend for high-ticket dropshipping businesses. You can, you know, if you want to go and grab it for yourself, you can get it from dropshipbreakthrough.com/Superstore. It's by Out of the Sandbox, our partner, our Shopify theme partner. And it allows you to build in these little kind of USP bars. Once again, I like to have this on the homepage and fairly high up the homepage because once again, when somebody's coming to buy from you, particularly if they're a repeat visitor, like maybe, you know, high ticket drop shipping, you're going to have customers who visit your site 7, 10, 20 times before they buy something. They're going to visit different pages throughout that journey. And one of the things that they're thinking about that's in their mind, because you're a reseller, right? There's going to be other people who are selling that product. One of the things that your customer is always thinking is not just which is the right product for me to buy. They're also thinking which is the right place for me to buy that from. And so, you know, the more effectively you can communicate both of those things, answer both of those conscious or subconscious thoughts that all customers have, the better. And once again, with marketing, you should be direct. So if you have reasons why you think somebody should buy from you, or things about your offer, which includes your price, your shipping, your taxes, your returns, price match policies, extra value that you add into each sale, et cetera, you need people to understand that, right? And perception is everything. So if customers don't see certain, like if you've got a great returns policy and it doesn't say anywhere on your website you've got a great returns policy other than in the fine print of your returns page, you in effect don't have a great returns policy because nobody sees it. And so perception is reality. So if a customer perceives you don't have a return policy or a great one because they didn't see it on your website, then that is reality for that customer. And what you think about your returns policy doesn't mean shit, right? If you can sit there and stroke yourself and say, oh, yes, I've got a great returns policy. It's fantastic. And if customers don't see it, you don't. And you're not doing a good job. So being talking about these things in multiple places on your site, anywhere a customer is going to land, they should understand what your offer is. This is very important when you're a reseller. It's much more important as a reseller than if you were selling your own product that nobody else sells. It's less important there. It's still important, but it's less important. So that's why having something like this is good. You know, easy returns. Jason's highlighting his returns. He's got free returns. So if you've got an issue with your product, we have a 30-day return policy. Cool. Once again, the price match, find a better price, we'll beat it. Give us a call, and shipping Canada wide. So obviously Jason's serving Canada here. You know, I mean, these are fine. You know, I'd probably say something different about the shipping. Like, what about the shipping? Obviously you're shipping, you know, are you doing free shipping? Like what's the shipping? What's good about the shipping? You know, if you're using this bar here, you want to be talking about what's good about your business. Why should people buy from you? People will automatically assume that you're shipping if you're selling stuff online. So, what about your shipping is great? Is it fast? Is it free? Maybe it's free on some things and not others. So give a bit more clarity around what's actually good about this. And then that's great. Moving along, you know, as you start to come down a homepage, I think really you start to think about like past this, like the top of your page should be about providing people with the main messages they need to get about your business. That is, who do you serve? What's great about your business, right? Those are the main messages and the navigation. And how do they get in touch? This is what you want the first, particularly as much above the fold, if you're on desktop or if you're on mobile, like towards the top of the page. You want to be able to communicate those things to people. Once you get down past those things, those are the most important things your homepage can do, in my opinion. It's really about navigation and featuring things, other things within your website that you might want people to be seeing. And there are some SEO benefits to doing some of these things as well. So, you know, navigation, getting people to the most common things that people want to get to on your site. So, I mean, this is a functional fitness equipment store. So then we've got things like functional trainers. I can go and look at them here. Smith's machines, cardio, you know, so that's fine. A little bit more about the business, how to get in touch, you know, if you've got help. I mean, nice image there of, you know, how the products might be used. That's all good. You've got some featured products. That's fine. A little search bar down the bottom if somebody can't find. And then a repetition of some of the USP stuff, which is good. And then the footer, which, you know, once again, the main things that need, you know, Let's be real, about 15% of people view your footer. So it's not like a massively important thing, but the stuff that needs to be here is here. A lot of the stuff that you see here, if you're trying to get on, you know, Google Merchant Center, et cetera, you need some of this stuff. You've got to have links to things like contact us pages and terms of service and privacy policies. Phone numbers have to be visible. Contact details and address is useful, of course. Business hours is good. You know, nothing wrong with putting your business hours on there. as well. So this is a good footer. All the stuff is here that needs to be here and nothing that doesn't. So good example of that. Over time, as you're building content into your business, so, you know, SEO being probably the biggest and most important traffic strategy for high-ticket dropshipping businesses over time. It's not where you start, but over time you'll start building content for that, whether it's written content or video content or whatever content you get into. I would start, you know, as you build that out, start featuring that on your homepage as well, particularly your, pieces of content that you might be trying to rank or are ranking very well. You can get a bit of SEO juice, extra SEO juice to them by passing on a bit of authority from this page to those pages if you link them up on the homepage as well. So Jason's not so much up to that stage yet, but, you know, as you get down to that, I'd start building that into the homepage as well. But as far as homepages go, this is a good one. I like that Jason has a commercial link in the header here in his navigation. I mean, this navigation makes sense given the nature of the business. I think this, you know, largely makes sense. There's nothing here that's particularly out of place to me. It seems to be a good logical sort of setup. I like the commercial. Obviously, for a lot of high ticket niches, there's going to be a commercial, a business to business side to it, as well as a B2C side. If you have that, and certainly if you're going through niche selection, I would be, and you've got ideas that feature that, I would be leaning in that direction. I think B2B is a massive opportunity right now for high ticket dropshipping. There are lots of opportunities, to be clear. It's not just B2B. There's plenty on the B2C side as well. If you do, like, you want to provide a bit of, you want to build that into your site as well. So having extra navigation for commercial type products is a good idea. You know, if you've got particular products that are probably more likely to be used in a commercial setting or a business setting rather than the retail setting, building those into your collections, like building collections around those, building them into your navigation is a good idea. Oftentimes, particularly for SEO, you will find that there are keywords when you get to that stage that are related specifically. So people might be searching for commercial, you know, benches for a gym or whatever. And so having collection pages that can rank for those keywords is a good idea. I would also put together a page on my site that talks about specifically how I serve, businesses. So oftentimes it's a good idea to build like an offer specifically for businesses. Like, what do you do? Do you do discounting for business sales? Do you do trade pricing? Or if you can, you should. Or do you do volume-based discounts? Or do you do have like a special business loyalty program where you do you provide extra benefits on repeat business, which is often one of the great things about B2B orders is they happen more frequently than B2C orders in a repeat fashion. And so I would be spelling that out on my website if I thought that B2B was something that I wanted to do a lot of or get into. One, think about what can you offer to those people, like what can you do for them that's different than what you do for everybody else, and then how can you communicate that on your site? So something to think about there, but this is a good start. So let's jump into some collection page action here. And so once again, I think collection pages. Jason, if you're watching this little verified by shop thing, I'd probably get rid of that on mobile. When that pops up, it was taking up like the entire top third of the screen. And I don't really like that sort of stuff. So I'd get rid of that. So collection pages, once again, they serve a couple of purposes. And depending on the nature of what's on the page and how many products are on there, you might approach them a little bit different. This collection page doesn't have a lot of products in it. So you could probably leave it like this, right? In terms of it's easy for the customer to come in and see what's on the page, and not really have too much trouble, you know, thinking about what products are they here to consider. I don't know if I can find one because this is not a page that's likely to have tons of different products. But if you have collection pages that have, there it is again, get rid of that stuff, that have a lot of products. So, you know, high ticket dropshipping, a lot of times stores will have, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of products on them. And that can lead to very large collections. And in fact, collections where a lot of the products look the same or very similar, you know, there's variations between the products, but they're not massively obvious just looking at this kind of view. And for customers, that's not really a very useful experience. Like, we like to dream that customers want to come to our site and just trawl through pages and pages of products and looking at all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. That's not really true. Your customer's coming to your website because they have a problem they're looking to solve. They're looking for the solution to that problem and then the outcome that that solution is going to provide them. People's attention span is very short. In fact, these days online, it's under 10 seconds, right? Which is a scary thought if you're a website owner, but that's the reality. And so people aren't wanting to come here and spend 20 minutes just trawling through your site. They're going to get distracted. Their attention span is going to go somewhere else. So what you want to do on your website is get people to the ideal product for them that is going to provide the exact solution they are looking for and the exact outcome they have in their mind. That's what everybody's doing. They're buying an outcome from you. They're not buying a product. The product is just the solution. What people are really buying is the outcome, right? So you need to get them to the thing that is going to meet whatever they're looking for as quickly as possible. And so if you've got, you know, collection pages that have like pagination that goes like four or five pages long, guess which page no one is looking at? Page 5. Like, nobody's looking at the products on page 5 of that, right? You know, so you might just have products that are just basically wasted on your site, unless, you know, outside of your Google shopping ads. And so always think about, and this is not one for Jason. I mean, it might be one for Jason if Jason gets more products on this site or has collections that are longer, but always think about finding ways you can build into your collection pages to get people to the outcome that they're looking for. And so one of those ways might be, filtering. So having an ability for people to filter, you know, based on price, based on maybe brand, based on features, you know, outcomes that the product can produce, these sorts of things, right? So people can say, well, I want to spend this much money on a product that does this, and they can select that feature. So, you know, themes can have a level of filtering built into them for Shopify. There are apps that can help you do that, or you can get somebody to assist you by coding that in. There's multiple outcomes there. Yeah, keep that in mind whenever you're building collection pages. I say that more as a broader comment, but also, like, think about, you know, how can you help the customer make the choice? Like, how can you get the person to the product as quickly as possible? Because if I come here, right, and I see these Smith machines, there's a range of different Smith machines here, to be honest. You know, some look kind of the same, but I can see there's different ones. Like, you know, from this brand, Atlas, I've got the AL3059, the AL3058, the ALM810, the AL3061. So here is one of your massive challenges, right? Now, you are going to get people who come to your store. I've got the AL3000Y. What's the difference between all of these, right? Now, this is just an exercise. If somebody already is familiar with brands and models, et cetera, yep, they're going to go straight to the one they want, right? And in the beginning, that's okay because, you know, you can get that traffic pretty easily on, say, Google Shopping or something like that. Now, a lot of those people are going to wind up on the product page first. But as you start getting more and more traffic, and you start broadening out your traffic generation strategies, you're getting into SEO and all that sort of thing, you're getting people who are further up the sales funnel. At any one point in time, if you think of the sales funnel, that upside down pyramid kind of thing, people who are know what product, exactly what product they want to buy at any one point in time is only about 10% of the market, maybe a little bit more. Sometimes it could even be a little bit less. So it's okay to hit that in the beginning and find some fast sales there. But the reality is, if you want to grow a decent business, you can't do it at the bottom of the funnel because there's just never enough people there. So you have to start getting traffic that's further up, further up, further up the funnel, which means people need more and more education to find the right product for them the further up the funnel you go. And so one of the things you have to help people to understand is like, what's all right, yeah, I want a Smith machine. And maybe I've heard that Atlas is a good brand, but there is like all these different products from Atlas. And what's the difference? How do I know which one's right for me? Now I could say, well, you could say, well, they're different prices. Yeah, okay. Getting close here, but I mean, some of these, there's only like a $300 difference, $200 difference or something like that. It's fairly negligible when you're spending $2,500, right? That's not a massive thing. So really, what's the difference? Well, you know, one of the ways I have to work that out here on this site is I have to click into every product page. I have to go, oh, I'm going to click on this one, read the specifications, blah, blah, blah. And we'll get to that in a minute and looking at that. Then I would have to come back to the collection page and then I would have to click on this one. All right, now I'm starting to get bored and my attention span is running. And then I'm going to, what am I going to click through all of these product pages? By the time I get to the third product down here, I've forgotten what was on this page. Like I can't remember a table of specifications and all the different attachments and the different exercises I presume that I can do and blah, blah, blah. So think about, now, if I was really confused, I might call you once again. That's going to be a small number of customers that do that. I might call you and say, hey, man, can you help me out, work out which one's the right one for me, blah, blah, blah. This is a job that your website can fulfill. And this is a job that you can do a lot of the heavy lifting on your collection pages. Because if I'm somebody who knows what product I want to buy, I don't spend any time on collection pages. That is not the part of a website I spend time on. I'm on the product page straight away, pretty much. People who spend time on collection pages are people who are in the middle of the funnel or the top of the funnel. They know that they want a Smith machine or some sort of functional trainer, but they don't know which one. They don't know necessarily what all the options are. And so your job is to educate them about those things. And so you can do that two ways on your website. You can do that by providing useful content on your page. You can provide recommendations to people. You know, I mean, if you've got a Smith machine, like, so building content in here, and a lot of people get a bit funny about this for some reason, despite all evidence to the contrary. You can have as much content on your collection page as you want. And it doesn't matter if it's above the products. It's not going to hurt your conversion rate. You can put it below your products. It still works for SEO. So once again, collection pages are going to be one of your primary keyword ranking pages for SEO. To get your collection pages to rank well for SEO, you have to have content on them because there is no content here. Google does not like pages with no content. So you've got to have it if you want to rank it organically. But if you've got to have it, you might as well make it good for the customer, right? Because it's kind of the same thing. So you could provide recommendations. Here's the best product for like commercial. Here's the best Smith machine for commercial use. Here's the best Smith machine under this price. Here's the best Smith machine, blah, blah, blah. Here's some useful resources we've built to help you better understand Smith machines. If you've got some blog posts, link them up. I like to do something to help me grow my email list and make some more sales. A good idea is to use, you can use quizzes in here. So you can build a static quiz form in here using a tool like Typeform that will, people can go in, it's a bit of gamification, it's a bit fun. They go in, they click on it and they say, it asks them five questions on like, what's the best, you know, are you using it at home or are you commercial? What's your fitness goals? Blah, blah, blah. What's your price point? Da, da, da. So it kind of fulfills the role of a salesperson and asks them a series of questions. And then at the end, they get a recommendation based on your answers. And you build the logic in the back end of the quiz tool. Based on your answers, we recommend you buy this product. Now think about, what does the customer really want? They want to get to the outcome as quickly as possible. If you think about, so our stores, high ticket dropshipping stores, are kind of the modern day equivalent of a physical retail department store, which sells a whole bunch of different brands, but is a bit more focused, right? And so what happens when you walk into a physical retail store, you're going to have salespeople. They're going to come and help you find the product. I mean, if they're good salespeople, they're going to come and help you find the product that is going to provide the outcome. They're going to talk to you. They're going to ask you some questions, right? Now, you can, it's hard for you to do, harder for you to do that on an e-commerce site like this, but you can do it. And so really, that's what you want to do. The more questions you can answer for your customer and the quicker you can get them to that outcome, the better. So you would do that on your collection pages. So once again, Jason is pretty early on here. Building this into your collection pages is not the first thing you need to do. It's not going to be the thing that you need to do to make your first sales, right? When you first launch a business, your number one goal in life, to the exclusion of everything else, is making your first sale. Then make your next five sales. Then make 10 sales. You know, then start worrying about some of the other marketing stuff. And you don't need anything fancy or special to do those things, right? That's, you know, this sort of stuff, building out your collection pages, that's kind of like the next steps after you've started to make some sales. So don't think that, oh, I need to do what John's talking about right now before I launch my business and I've got to do this all before I make any sales. No, that's not true. I've got a site where that's done, I don't know, about 100,000 in sales. I haven't done any of that stuff yet, right? So you don't need it in the beginning, but it is where you want to go over time more and more. And that's really the role that collection pages can fulfill for you. It's not just about showing customers a selection of products. Think about your collection page, one, as a page that will rank for some really important keywords organically for your business and drive you tens of thousands of visitors over time, but also as kind of like a hub to answer as many customer questions about the products that are featured on that collection as you can, and shortcut the time that it takes them to get from that middle of the funnel, oh, I think I want a Smith machine, to knowing that the Atlas Strength AL3000 light Smith machine in black is the right one for me. That's the other main role that your collection pages can play over time. All right, let's go and check out a product page on this site. I'm just going to pick one at random. All right, so product page. So once again, think about the product page. What does the product page need to do on one of these sites? It needs to do two things. It needs to persuade the customer that this is the right product for them to buy and make it very clear about what are the outcomes that this product provides at the end of the day by, you know, talking about what are its features, what are its benefits, blah, 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 and linking that to outcomes. And so basically persuading the customer that this is the product that they should buy if it is the right product for them. But it also, your product page also needs to persuade the customer that you are the right business to buy from. So it plays a role in doing that as well. In the beginning, when you first launch your business, you're probably going to start with Google Shopping ads. This is the landing page for your ads. This is where customers come, right? And so you've got 10 seconds to grab their attention and or hold their attention and for them to form at least some level of a view that this is a site that I should think about buying from. And that I, a site that, you know, if I'm not ready to make the decision then and there, a site that I actually need to come back to, that I need to remember. And so you need to be communicating on your product page, not just what's great about the product, but also what's great about your business. So going back to the stuff we talked about on the homepage, all of that needs to be echoed here. I would also be talking about that stuff on my collection pages. I'd be talking about that stuff on my About Us pages and anywhere else I can. So you know, Superstore does a good job of coming in and setting up your product page in a way that, you know, looks pretty nice and professional out of the gates. So I mean, you know, the top part of this page is looking good thus far. We can see that Jason has inserted the a review widget here under the add to cart area. And then he's also pulled in his USP bar. So you'll see this one looked like what was on the homepage. And so once again, that's communicating to people more about what's good about the business and that sort of thing. And then we get down to the product description, various tabs. We've got tabs set up here talking about why buy from us, shipping, return and refund policy, specs, etc. So let's break this down a little bit. I think there's some good things going on here that probably just need to be tweaked up a little bit. But I think, you know, a lot of this is, once again, for an early on site, is going in a good direction. So the first thing I would say, having the review widget here would be fine if you had a single review. But let's say you had 10 reviews and your reviews had images or something like that in them. This is going to take up more space than this currently. This looks like it fits in because there's nothing in it. Once there's reviews and things, this is going to push down and it's going to blow out this column a long way. So I probably wouldn't put my review widget there. That's not to say that you couldn't feature a review or two up there in this space. I think, you know, particularly if you've got a little bit of user-generated content with your reviews, you know, review widgets these days, people can add their an image, they can take a video, they can do all sorts of cool stuff. And featuring that on your product pages is obviously a bit of a no-brainer to do, but I probably wouldn't do it quite that way. I'd probably keep my main review widget, I don't know if you've got it down the page, down somewhere, like somewhere else a bit further down the page where it can display in a greater size. I just don't think it's going to work there. If I had some really great views that I wanted to pull up into this space, you could do that, just feature an individual review or something like that, but you just don't want to load your main review widget here. So I would probably change that out. I've seen people do that in various ways. I've seen people feature one review up here above the price. They actually insert it in here, like just a single review. You could put it down here. That's fine. Because the other thing to bear in mind, if I can make this go into mobile view, is that when we're in mobile view, once again, I mean, this is going to take up a lot of real estate because it's going to get bigger. And so that's something to think about. The other thing I would think about as well is that the USP bar here, which looks great on desktop, and I like the idea and the intention behind it. I think that's spot on. It just looks shit on mobile, which is where most people are going to be. So if we go to mobile view, the downside about this USP bar as it comes in this theme in a stock manner is that you can scroll it with your thumb, but it's loading all janky here. So the size is blowing out on it. And then you kind of got this heart down here. It doesn't come pre-built with arrows that indicate that it side scrolls. So if you're just looking at it, you don't know that it scrolls. And so all you're really showing people is shipping Canada wide. Like, once again, as I mentioned on the homepage, that's a bit of a well, duh moment. And you've got your phone number, which, once again, it's cool to have that, but it is just there. Like if I'm on mobile, you've got the sticky header. So your phone number is always just there. So, I mean, these two things here are not really adding any value in terms of your marketing at that point. And so I like the idea, but probably what I would like to do more is I would like to load these things or these messages in a way that is always on the screen and fits in nicely. Now, you could get this recoded a bit so that it displays differently on a mobile device, because like I say, man, it looks fine on a desktop, right? And that's cool. I think for a desktop, it's fine. But once again, minority of your customers are going to be on desktop at any point in time. Usually what I will do, and what people who I see do this well do, is they will build these things in either, they'll oftentimes people will put them in sort of above the price, below the this information here as like dot points, just like 4 or 5 hit points in here, or they'll build it into the area here where you've got the review. And you can do that, you know, you can get images designed that convey these things and insert the, get the images coded in. You could do it via text. You can make a little table, a USP table. There's all sorts of different ways that you can do that. But that's probably the way, is to build it into this column. And that way, when the screen shrinks down, it kind of should then stay in that column there in a nice little square, or in here if it's in here or wherever. You can even do both. I actually think there is no way you can over-communicate your USP on a website when you're a reseller, because it's one of the main things that are involved in the persuasion of the customer to buy from you. So once again, comments here would be the same as on the front page. Really, I'd be focusing in on price match. I would just say, you know, call us. And then I would make that click to call rather than click to a web page, which I think it does by stock. I think clicking to call is much more useful. As we move down the page, and I'm going to inspect some of these things. You know, your description, once again, I mean, kind of fulfills two roles. Yep, so that's a H2. That's nice. That's a H3. Your description is about, one, communicating all the things the customer needs to understand in order to work out that this is the right product for them. It's going to provide the solution and the outcome that they're looking for. But it also plays a role in your organic, how well you're able to rank for organic traffic. Now, once again, product pages, in case nobody has caught this yet, product pages don't rank for anything other than the product title. So if you've got grand plans that your product pages are going to rank for, you know, broader search terms like Smith Machine, like this product is going to rank for Smith Machine, no, it's never going to happen, right? And in fact, you don't want it to happen. That would not be a good thing. Now, there are some cases where, you know, there's exceptions to this rule, as there always is, but generally speaking, your product page is going to rank for this, and that's it. And in most cases, that's all you want it to rank for. Or this one might include the word yellow. You don't want it to rank for a lot of other things. So but on your product page, I mean, you've got to have, you know, when we talk about product pages, they're important because you have a lot of them, and if you have a lot of low quality from an organic perspective product pages, then you will dilute your efforts in generating good SEO elsewhere on your site. So if you're thinking, I'm going to put a lot of work into blog posts, I'm going to put a lot of work into my collection pages, and you haven't got your product pages right from an SEO perspective, then the work that you do on your collection pages or your blog posts is going to be severely hindered by the fact that you've got crappy product pages from an SEO perspective in search engine size. And so if you're in Dropship Breakthrough, we cover off all of this stuff in our SEO modules. But a couple of, and I'm not going to go deep into it here because honestly, that's a training session in and of itself. But, you know, H2 here is good. You need to have unique content, or at least some unique paragraphs at the start of your product description. And you need to have enough. So if you've got like four or five lines and that's your product description, that's going to be thin content, right? There's just not enough on the page. So you need to have a decent amount. Generally, you will for high ticket products. They tend to have long, you know, more to them than lower ticket products. And so it's not hard to come up with a good description. This one here, I would probably change this a bit, this description. So the heading is good, the H2 heading, good for, this is always your H1 up here. Okay, yeah. So you've got a bit of a variation here with your keyword in your H2. I don't like all these little H3 headings though, which are basically just separating like a sentence or two. I think that's unnecessary. What I would probably do is one of two things. I would these are really features. You've got a multifunctional pulley system, smooth and silent operation, adjustable safety hooks and spotter arms. These headings are really your main features list. So I would probably get rid of those headings and just make them a series of dot points. Features, feature, benefit, outcome. Feature, benefit, outcome. So what does that mean? These headings are not providing any SEO benefit or anything like that. So I think it just makes it harder to read to have those. They also are quite large on mobile. So it's kind of, I think it's good to have paragraphs, but I would just dot point your features and benefits, have a few further H2 headings, maybe have a features list, just the dot points at the top if you want to just point out the main things and then go into and just make these paragraphs is probably what I would do. And then I would probably just take your specs list and put it straight below your description. I don't think you need that extra tab. Then the other thing that I would probably point out here is, you've got your full shipping policy. All right, I assume it's nearly your full shipping policy on the page, as well as your full returns policy. I would assume this is, if I went to your returns page, it's going to be fairly similar on the page. And so this is loading on every single product page, and it's a lot. It's a lot of content. So once again, one of the things we think about on product pages is, are you loading a lot of like boilerplate content or repetitive content, which, to a certain extent, you can't avoid that, but I don't think you should be loading like full pages. Like this is going to appear on your site hundreds of times. And so that means like, if you think about like your description and then shipping and then your returns, like there's more content in these two tabs than there is in this one. And so I would try and minimize this as much as possible. I don't think your customer needs to see all of this on every collection page. I think what they need to understand is this, that you have this. And if they want to get to this, then here's a link to read the full page. Like every customer is not reading your full page before they buy. They just need to understand what is the main thing. What is the main thing about your returns policy? What is the main thing about your shipping? And then just link them off to via a link to the relevant page that the rest of the content appears on. I think that's the most useful thing. So I would try and cut down as much as possible the repetitious content on your product pages and just focus on the bit that the customer actually needs to make that baseline decision. Do I need to pay attention to this website, right? Which is just the dot points about what you offer, because that's the biggest barrier you have to get over in the beginning is just, does the customer need to stay here? And they don't need to read the whole policy to work out that they need to stay here. They just need to know, oh, wow, these guys have a free 30-day return policy. Nobody else does. Great. I need to pay attention to these guys. And so that's what I would focus on. I would probably get rid of this. I would just, you know, if you want to keep a tab for it, cool. But I would just say, like, shipping. What's the main thing about your shipping? $45 shipping on all orders within Canada. So straight up there. And that would be sort of like what I'd be saying here, if I'm reading that right, is ship, rather than saying shipping Canada wide, I'd say like something like, you know, fixed rate shipping, $45 for any product. Like, you know, I mean, for people who are looking at a big product like this, they're probably going to think, oh, $45 to ship like that massive thing across a big country like Canada, or around a big country like Canada. That's cool. That seems pretty good. And if you've done some research and you think that's a competitive shipping rate, then you could say that too, like best shipping rates, flat rate, $45. You know, we won't be beaten on shipping, something like that. That's what the customer wants to hear. They don't need to hear all the rest of it. Some customers do want to see the detail, and that's why you then provide them a link to the detail. And so I would cut those down. But, you know, otherwise, you know, pretty clean looking product pages thus far. I'd make those few changes here, change around the reviews widget, change around the USP. You know, I think they're definitely getting on the right track, Jason. So well done there. Okay, there you have it. Website teardown complete. Thank you for making it this far. I hope you got something out of that website teardown. I certainly have a lot of fun doing those. I think every time I do one, and you can go back through past episodes, there's at least three or four others there on throughout our podcast history that you can listen into. I find that even though we're always looking at a similar sort of business, you know, a high ticket dropshipping business, everybody does theirs a little bit differently. And so I often end up finding slightly different variations of different things to talk about. So it's always a very useful episode. So a couple of things just to wrap this one up. Once again, if you want to jump into our public Facebook group and catch that sort of stuff as it happens and listen along live, I do them live. People ask questions. You can do the same. I do them on other topics as well. Head to Facebook, put Dropship Breakthrough into the search bar and you'll find the group. You can just request to join. You answer a couple of questions and we'll let you in. And if you would like to have your own website, the subject to one of these website teardowns, once again, just shoot an email through to support@dropshipbreakthrough.com. Once again, you'll find that email address in the show notes here. You know, I'll be more than happy to do it. Of course, if you're connected with me anywhere else, you can just shoot me a message and say, hey, John, can you do a teardown for me? So once again, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for listening in. We'll talk real soon.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.